Together, my home. Right. The Bible introduces God by many different names. Each displaying a different facet of his character. These names are important because they show us who our Creator and Savior is and how a relationship with Him can impact our lives. Hello, my name is... This week, The Rock.
Hey everyone, I hope this is a really good 4th of July weekend for you. I know for so many of us in the States, there's a lot of traveling. Almost 50 million people will be traveling this year. And understandably, a lot of people are just ready to get out and see friends and family. And so I'm glad that, just hope everyone's safe. If you're watching this and you've been traveling, be careful. Recently, I asked a number of people, friends of mine with a wide variety of backgrounds, and asked them two questions. I said, one is, if someone asked you, an outsider, so maybe someone from another country said, are you thankful to be an American? How would you respond? And then the second thing is, why? And every one of them, wide variety of backgrounds and all this, everyone said, yes, I am really glad and thankful I'm an American. And the number one reason they gave was that there is freedom that we experience here as citizens of the United States that is unusual. And compared to the rest of the world, it is unique. Not that there aren't other places that they have relative freedom, but we have it and we've enjoyed it for quite a while. That doesn't mean at all that we're a perfect country or anything like that, but it does mean we have these freedoms, and these freedoms have been paid for at a high price. Starting with the revolution to leave England's repressive rule throughout our history, we've fought to find freedom and to maintain it. And it doesn't mean at all, again, like I said earlier, that this is a perfect country. But man, there are so many things that we can do to deal with our imperfections. In fact, in I think it was the preamble to our Constitution, it talks about the things that are laid out to help us build a more perfect union. And we've been at it for a long time, and we'll continue to be. Winston Churchill in 1947 said something that I've not been able to forget. He said this, he goes, many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world, listen to this, of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. I'm grateful to be a citizen of the United States. I'm grateful to be in a country that has principles that we have established ourselves on that allow us to tackle problems and issues that we need to. And we're seeing a lot of this happen now, but to some people, they're just throwing away or taking for granted the freedoms we have. And we need to take advantage of them and stand strong and use it, use the freedom that we have for good. Jesus said this, he goes, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more is required. So this Independence Day weekend, I just want to encourage all of us that are citizens of the United States that we realize that much has been entrusted to us. And there is much required of those that have been benefited. Let's use our freedoms well. Let's treat each other with respect. Let's realize that all of us were created in God's image equally. And therefore, we have the opportunity to work together to do something significant, to address our problems well, and to be an example for others. Let me pray, and then we'll dig into the message today. God, thank you for the freedoms that we have benefited from by the sacrifice of so many. Help us this Independence Day to to make sure that we don't make ourselves independent of you, but to allow our dependence on you to lead us to help build a much better country here, one that is stronger, one that is a bright light. Help us not to shy away from the problems we need to address, but help us not to abandon the good that we have or the principles that can help us to address problems well and to address them together. This weekend, help us to remember how fortunate we are and to do the best we can from that framework to really make a difference. In Christ's name, amen. So we're doing this series, and we're looking at the names of God. The names, and whenever you see this in the Bible, they're names that are indicative of character or nature of God. So we looked the first week at God is Almighty. That means he has unlimited power. In fact, it is limited, but it's only limited by his character and his goodness. There is no one, no thing greater, more powerful than our God. And therefore, we can rest assured that when we're with him, we are in good hands. And the second week, we looked at this idea that he is our provider. He has promised to meet every one of our needs. He's almighty. He's powerful. He's got all the resources, and he wants to provide for us, just like a good parent wants to provide for their children. And then last week, we looked at this idea that he is the God, a God who is peace. Peace, so many times we try to find peace in our circumstances. You know, I want to go someplace and find peace and quiet. I want to find a peaceful place to move to or to live in or whatever. But the Bible talks about peace being found in a person. And that when you and I are in the presence of God, we are with the one who can give us peace regardless of what our circumstances are like. And there are tons of examples of this. We've given some of those from the Bible, and we'll be doing some more during this series. But I just understand that God is almighty, he's our provider, and he's the one who is our peace. And then this week, we're looking at something that builds on that, no pun intended, but that he is our rock. He's not the rock. He's not Dwayne Johnson, but he is a rock. Listen to this from 2 Samuel. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. May God, the rock of my salvation, be exalted. This idea of a rock, it means it's something that is solid, it's firm, it's sturdy, it's secure, it's dependable, it is unmovable. That means that this powerful, providing, peace-giving God that we have offers us an utterly trustworthy foundation to build our lives and to live them from. And this God, we can utterly trust him to not be like shifting sands. We're going to be looking at the difference between sand and rock in a few minutes, but that he is absolutely dependable. I want to give some implications of this. I'm going to give three, and then I'm going to give some illustrations to this. So follow along with me. The first thing is this. The life that God has invited us to, it is the very best life for us. Because he loves us, he cares about us, he has all the resources available. He wants the very best for you and me. So when he invites us into this relationship with him, we can know that he has our best interest at heart. Psalm 13, 5 and 6 says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." This is the testimony of someone that has understood what this new life that God offers us is like. And this fact that he wants the best for us means that he didn't just come and rescue us. He came to rescue us and then to set us on solid ground so we could build our lives brand new. And we needed to be rescued because we had gotten in trouble based on our own self-centeredness, our own sinful desires and choices. And he comes and he rescues us at great cost. And now we have lives that have super potential, lives that are going to have great meaning. Second thing, so not only is the life that he has invited us to the very best life we could ever have, it perfectly fits us. The life God's invited us to requires his power and our hard work. It's a partnership here. It's not this new life, and he didn't just rescue us, set us up and say, well, see what you can do. He's given us his power, but he's requiring that you and I put in the work to build this new life. Can you imagine a family or a couple going through all that's needed to have a child? The baby's finally born. They go through labor and delivery. The baby's born. The parents say, well, good job. Hang in there. Of course not. The parents are right there to give the child everything the child needs. And as time goes on, at different ages and stages, the child needs to make its effort to learn and to live this life that it's been given. There's a passage that we've used quite a bit recently, and I want to read through this again. I'm going to go through it quickly, but it describes this life that you and I have. And I'm afraid so many people miss this. Either they think that the Christian life is just something that it's just you make this decision to follow God and that's it. And then kind of like, I'm now a citizen, so I don't have to do anything. I just kind of hang out. Or it's all based on self-effort, and then I wear out because I can't do it on my own. Listen to this. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly or a God-honoring life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, which is just what he did in paving the way and sending Jesus to come and pay the penalty for our sin to rescue us. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Human desires aren't bad, but when we live our life based on our human desires, apart from what God says, we get in huge trouble. And so it's saying here that God's given us his power and he's given us his promises so that we can live this new life. And it goes, in view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. We are to make every effort to build into our life these practices, these habits, these attitudes, these mindsets. It says, and the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us just to have a check mark, oh, well, one day I accepted him. He wants us to have this ongoing relationship where we're now productive and useful, and we're making a difference with our lives. It says, those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. You know what happens to many is that we're saved from our sin, but then we begin dabbling in that same sin again, taking for granted God's grace and his mercy, not thinking about the price that's going to be paid in our life and the lives around us. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, the one we just read about, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a relationship here that has a dynamic to it where God's given us everything we need, his power and his promises, and then we begin to take and build our lives on it by making every effort that we can. We make choices along the way to choose God and not go this way, to love others, to care about them, to care about the things that matter. And those choices are really important, the big ones and the little ones. Third thing, the life God has invited us to is not set it and forget it. This life that he has invited us to, the moment we become followers of Jesus, we are now on this new adventure, this new journey. And it's a new way of living, not just a new status that we have. And it's a regular, ongoing relationship where we're strengthening, we're repairing, we're building and maintaining this relationship we have with God and the purposes that he has for us. So here, listen to this. This is something that, again, it's a challenge for all of us. Jesus said this in Luke 6. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Another word for Lord would be boss or leader. Why do you keep calling me this when you're not leading or following or obeying me? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it'll collapse into a heap of ruins. And he's making a picture here. He's wanting them to know most of the people there understood about construction. They'd gone through places where people were building homes. And you can either build with a strong foundation, which is going to cost you more, which is going to be more difficult, more time consuming, or you can forget the foundation and just build something on the sand or on the topsoil. And you can put a lot more into it because you have a lot more money because you didn't have to spend so much time and effort in the foundation. An example of this is when we were building our facility in Lorton. As we were going into construction, they discovered we had soil that was not compatible with the size building we were building. And we needed to deal with that. We could either ignore it, which would have been hard because we have building inspectors and all that, but had we been able to, it would have saved us almost $1 million and a ton of time. We had to remove 1,200 truckloads of poor soil and replace that with 1,200 truckloads of good soil that could handle the load. It was really discouraging at the time. It was hard to accept. But around the same time, there was a building being built. It was a Costco that was being built in Richmond. And they had built that building. They built it quickly. They wanted to get in time for Christmas sales that year. And right after they opened, they started noticing the doors couldn't close right. And then they started seeing cracks in the floor. And eventually, they ended up having to condemn that building and tear it all down. The reason was it had been built on a poor foundation. Jesus is saying here, look, if you want to follow me, it's going to be like someone building their house with a solid foundation. It's going to take more time, more effort, more energy. It's going to be more costly. But in the end, it'll be worth it because it will be substantial. It'll be solid. It'll withstand anything that comes its way. So what I'd like to do is take a few minutes and use some real life illustrations of the importance of building and maintaining our lives on this rock solid foundation of a relationship with Christ. First illustration, you'll have a picture up here, is in 2018, Hurricane Michael came through the west coast of Florida and just ravaged it. In Mexico Beach, it basically destroyed just about everything there. There was one home, and you'll see this in the picture, the one home that stood out because it wasn't destroyed. It had very little damage to it because it was built very differently than the others around it. The owners spent a lot more time. They built it to a code. Instead of 120 mile an hour wind capacity, they built it to 240 mile an hour wind ability to withstand that. They dug their pilings 40 feet down until they hit solid rock. It cost them 20 to 30 to 40% more to build their house the way they did. And not only did it cost them more, but there are things that they didn't have, amenities that others had, they didn't. They didn't have as many windows. They didn't have as many balconies overlooking the Gulf. But they were looking at it, what is going to be in the long run, what's going to be the most substantial, the most solid house we can build here. They had choices to make, and their house may not have looked as good as their neighbors, at least at the time. It may have cost them more than their neighbors. But when you go back and look and you see what happens, they don't regret it, and many others do. Building on a solid foundation in our relationship with God is pretty much like building a house like that. It takes a lot more time, takes effort, and it takes expense. To build a relationship with God and to build it solidly on Him is going to mean there'll be some things you miss out on. there'll be some ways you spend your time that are different than maybe the way others do. You're going to spend time every day, regularly, reading God's word, and not just reading it to go through it, but to reading it to learn and to see how to apply it in your life. You're going to spend time really looking hard at your own life, and maybe even getting counseling or meeting with some people that can help you just address what are some of these habits or issues in my life that need to be adjusted and changed. Another thing is your time's going to be wrapped around the things God says are important, like worship or being part of a group or serving. You'll be investing your money in ways that go along with helping you build and helping others build a strong resistant faith. If it was easy, it'd be different. It's not. It's difficult because we're building into something that is going to last, but we have to go through all of our own self-centeredness. We have to go through our own desires that if we're not careful, they'll lead us astray. But building on the rock and obeying Jesus, it's absolutely worth it, but it's going to be costly. Count the cost. Another illustration of this. June 24th of this year, 1:30 a.m. in Surfside, Florida, just outside of Miami, the Champlain Towers South Building had 40-plus condo units in it, 12 stories. It collapsed. It just pancaked. There are 160 people that are either dead or missing right now. And I want to be careful with this. I'm not trying to be callous or just use this as an illustration, impervious to the pain and the suffering and the hurt that people are going through. In no way do I want to be disrespectful, but it has caught national attention. They're still searching for survivors, and the preliminary reports are coming in about what caused, what could have led to this building collapsing on itself. And there's some evidence of some things that happened that really need to be looked at. Over the years, this place was built 40 years ago, and it was a phenomenal luxury tower. Nice homes, people from all over were in them and enjoyed it. But over the years, there were some problems that started surfacing. There was concrete crumbling. There was water that was not draining the way it should. There was exposed rebar, the steel that helps keep the structure integrated. There's a sinking going on in the land around there that could have to do with the foundation of the building. But when the people saw, and the condo owners, starting with the condo association, they thought, man, this is going to be really expensive. And so a major report came out in 2018, but no action was taken on it. Again, I don't know the whole story. None of us do at this point. But the bottom line is that to fix the problems was going to take time and a lot of money and probably a good bit of inconvenience. It was going to mean some of the amenities wouldn't be available. It may mean some people had to move out for a while. It was definitely going to cost money. And so there were constant delays, and these delays ended up becoming a major, major problem. I think about this in terms of people I know that have been followers of Jesus, or they claim to be followers of Jesus, and have been for a long time. They can look back at the time where, boy, there's this point where I made a decision to follow Jesus. But as time has gone on, they haven't really built on that. They have a lot of things in the past, but nothing really current. They've gotten sloppy. They've gotten lax. They not really continuing to build a healthy, strong relationship and allowing some things to go unaddressed that really needed to be. Could be habits. It could be mindsets or attitudes where just getting kind of lazy and in some cases comparing, say, well, I'm a Christian, the rest of the world's not, and what's wrong with them, but not really looking at our own life and saying, I wonder what Jesus thinks of me, how I'm living, what I'm doing. What is it that is my relationship with him right now strong, solid? Is it well maintained? or have I let it go? You know, you see this, I see it with people in their marriages where they got married, they can tell you the date of their anniversary and they may celebrate it every year, but are they still building on that original foundation to build a strong friendship with their mate? Do they continue dating? Do they continue exploring? Do they continue learning? And when things come up, are they willing to address them? You see, a relationship with God, and again, we need to be careful. We can't just refer to him as the rock because we might think of him as kind of impersonal. He's not that way. You're going to see it in some of the other names we'll go through. But we do understand that God is this, he's this relationship that will never waver. But we can. We may end up going our own way and become lazy, become caught up in what's more convenient or what's more comfortable for us and miss out on the things that really matter. I'm going to read this to you again because this relationship with Jesus is never set it and forget it. Jesus said this in Luke 6, and I'll think about your own life as I read this, and then we're going to do a couple things of application. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you. I'll show you what a relationship is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it'll collapse into a heap of ruins. One of the things we are guaranteed in this life is that we're going to go through difficulty and struggles. I'm going to tell a story next week that illustrates both some of this, but it's going to segue right into what we look at next week, this God, the God who sees, the God who is aware of everything. But right now, I just want you to think about your life and what foundation it's built on. First is, have you ever truly accepted God's invitation to have a new life based on what he's done for you through Christ Jesus? It's the best life you could ever have, but have you ever made that decision? Have you ever crossed the line of faith and said, God, I know I need what Jesus offers. I know I need to be forgiven. I know I've made a mess of my life. I really need your help. And then choose to accept him. You can do that right now. You can talk to one of our hosts, or you can talk to a friend of yours that's a solid follower of Christ, or one of us on staff. But the beginning all starts with accepting God's invitation. If you have made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, have you been making every effort to build well on this rock-solid foundation with him? Do you trust and obey him, or do you just call him Lord without really obeying? There's some things that you and I can do. They could seem like just empty habits, but they're key things. Regularly, on a daily basis, reading God's word to learn and understand and to apply it in our lives. Being part of like our prayer night. We have a Bible reading plan that we have at New Hope to help all of us kind of work through understanding and applying what the Bible says, and then praying and thinking it through and deliberately making choices to wrap our lives around the truth of God's word. Are you regularly worshiping with others? Are you making that a priority in your life? Because we're called to be part of God's family, his community. Are you invested in his church through your time, your giving, and your serving? Because these are all part of, you know, the one thing that we do in building strong relationships with others is deliberately relating with them. And one of the ways we do that is in our worship together, our serving together, and being in groups together. Are you making every effort to build well as God has instructed? And the third thing is, are there some areas you know in your life, kind of like the condos in Florida, that you've allowed to slide and you're not really addressing, and you think, oh, it's no big deal, or I'll get to that later. The thing is small habits become big ones. The beginning of a habit becomes very well entrenched, and we can become so caught up in it that it is life dominating. It could be all kinds of things. I won't get into specifics now, but are there some areas in your life where you know this is outside of what God wants for me, but I haven't been willing to address it? Will you choose to start today and to build well on the foundation he's given? If it's something beyond what you know to do, you can talk to some of our staff or, a solid follower of Christ you know. You could be Celebrate Recovery or The Landing. There's some way, but don't put it off. Because the longer you and I put things off, the more they become entrenched in our life and the more damage will be done if we don't address it. Have asked a friend to be praying for us, Sarah. You see her at times on our worship team, but have asked her to pray for us as we think about this offer that God makes to be our rock and the one that we can build our lives solidly on. Let's pray together, and then we'll continue our worship.
Hi, New Hope family. I'm Sarah, and I serve on the worship team here. I started coming to New Hope about 6 years ago, and something that I appreciate so much about this church is the focus on having a personal relationship with God, being able to know and understand him personally, and knowing that I can rely on him and trust him, and that he will be the root of my strength, because by myself, things might not be possible, but through him, all things are possible. Please pray with me. Dear God, I thank you that we can continue to learn and grow together as a church. I just thank you for the words of wisdom that we receive each week. And I just pray that we can take them to heart and really feel an improvement in ourselves. I just thank you that we can rely and trust in you, and that you are the root of our strength, and you are always supporting us. In times of hardship and in times where things may not be as actively difficult. I know that you are there for us when we are weak, and I also know that you are there when things may not seem as hard, that you are still behind the scenes working and helping us grow and giving us strength. I just thank you for being the rock in all of our lives, even when we may not realize it. I just pray that we can continue to grow in our relationships with you. And I just thank you that our relationships are always ever growing and ever changing and just blossoming. I just pray that you are with everyone here and everyone not here, and that you can work in the hearts of those who are questioning you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever sing. We live for you. We live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh.